You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Good evening, everybody. This is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Go in there. Christmas is coming up. Buy all the things. Now, we're talking about, as we always do, our board games, our card games, our tabletop games, and all the stuff in between on this Thursday, the 14th of December, episode 194. Now, we normally do a jokey little fun intro, but it's too big of a show.
It is too big of a show.
We've got two bigger things to talk about. We've got big, big things on the horizon. It's bigness all across the show. And speaking of bigness, who have I got across from me this evening?
It's Big Mark.
Big Mark and...
And Big G.
And Big G.
Yeah, I'll be Big G.
G-Man.
Oh, yeah.
The G-Man.
And the Big G. Well, Big G, what are we talking about this evening?
Oh, my goodness. You are so right with the bigness, Leon. We have another Big G, which is... Gloomhaven.
Yes.
Now, this game, which has started from nowhere and has rattled up the ranks of the hotness to be quite near the top, is our game that we have been playing very much lately. And that's pretty much going to be it for the show. But time permitting, we're going to do what we were meant to do last week and do a little bit of a secret Santa.
Yes.
Between the Dice Men. And then, Leon, you have potentially a secret break of secretness that you won't tell us anything about, but we're only going to use that if we run out of things to say about Gloomhaven.
Exactly, which we probably won't.
We probably won't. So anyway, because we need to talk about Gloomhaven, we better throw to a song very bloody quickly, come back, and then start talking all about Gloomhaven. But again, thank you, Area 52, and thank you, Mark, and thank you, Leon, for joining me on episode 194 tonight. We're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Mark, play the button and we'll get back to that song.
That was Maybe Tomorrow by J. Robert Youngtown, a fresh new Tassie act here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You're here listening to The Dice Men Cometh with Mark, Garth and Leon talking about board games, card games, all sorts of funsies for the Christmas period.
We're just talking about one game.
Just one game tonight?
One game. That's all we're talking about.
What is that game, Garth?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked.
I believe it's Big G.
Big G.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us about the Big G.
Big G. Tell us about Big G.
Well, this is the biggest of G's. Because...
Ali? Is it Ali?
We are talking Gloomhaven, which is arguably the biggest game of 2017 because it comes in at a whopping 9.8 kilograms.
It's a massive box.
It's a phenomenally large box. It puts every other board game to shame, potentially except for maybe Kingdom Death Monster or that really big Axis and Allies that came out not too long ago. But anyway, don't talk about other games, guys. We're talking about Gloomhaven.
We weren't.
That was you, Garth. Big G.
Just getting us off track. So, look.
Big M. Sorry, anyway. Old Captain Milk Drink over there.
Anyway, see, you're derailing it again.
I know.
Look, Gloomhaven is a dungeon crawl, but it's not a dungeon crawl like you would know based on playing other ones. So you immediately, when you think of a dungeon crawl kind of game, you think Descent. And you go, well, Descent's got elves and dwarves and wizards and paladins and all of that kind of trope. And Gloomhaven hasn't got that. And
what?
Then you go,
well, hang on. No elves.
No elves.
No orcs.
No orcs.
No elves. No elves. Sorry, I had to get a Christmas gag in.
Then you go, well, Descent. You know, I've got my cards and then I'm going to fight that thing. I'm going to roll some dice. And then you play Gloomhaven and Gloomhaven hasn't got any dice at all.
No dice.
No dice. As a dice man. But anyway... Let's not compare Gloomhaven with Descent anymore, guys, so shut up, okay? World of Shifting Motives. Now, players, I'm going to stop reading from BGG there and go, players, look, they're not just a party all about that because you've got your copy still coming or you're playing it with your friends or your family or you're going to even play it solo, Mark. Then, by all means, switch off and come back in maybe 20, 30 minutes time.
Yeah, and let's be clear. So we're not going to spoil anything that is, let's call it, locked.
That is sealed information.
Yeah, there are sealed envelopes in the game. Not a lot. You know, it's not anything like Pandemic Legacy, but we're not going to spoil any of that. And the Book of Scenarios, I believe 98 scenarios, you know, when you open it up, you can flick through that book however you like. You can play, one of the ways you can play this game is you can do generate random dungeons and play random scenarios. So we're not going to spoil anything that you wouldn't see by opening the box and just looking inside.
Correct. Yeah, we're only going to talk about, we've played it five or six times. We're talking about the first, like, 10 hours of the game.
Correct.
Which is a game that could take, theoretically, like a few hundred hours, possibly.
Well, for us, thousands.
It would definitely, yes.
Yeah. So there's our little caveat. We are just putting it out there that we're going to talk about the first, what, three or four missions, yeah, potentially?
Yeah, but not even in a lot of detail.
This game, and this conversation more so, is not about these are the scenarios that you're going to have. This is about what makes this game the hotness that it is. Because it is now on its second edition. Its first Kickstarter was incredibly successful. Its second Kickstarter, which wrapped up several months ago, which had 40,642 backers who collectively pledged $3,999,795. So it was basically one backer away from hitting $4 million. Incredible. This game is, in our hobby, a behemoth. It's massive.
And that was the second time around.
Correct.
Yeah, because the first time around, it was during my buy a ridiculous amount of stuff on Kickstarter phase. But I didn't back this because I remember looking at it being like, this is all right. And a lot of people went, yeah, it's all right, but it does kind of look a wee bit generic, let's be honest.
Yep.
And so the first was, even though it was very successful, wasn't anywhere near the second time it came out when everyone was just like, no, 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 you've got to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they released the second edition very much as the first edition was getting to backers. Very similar to what the Seventh Continent did.
Very clever way of doing it.
Makes perfect sense. So anyway, here we go, guys. Are you sitting down? Gloomhaven is a massive game of adventuring, of delving, of party togetherness that involves getting the loot, killing the monsters, finding new adventures to go on, working together, hopefully getting enough XP to retire. But before you even do that, you've got to upgrade your characters. And then you go on again and 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 again through this world of Gloomhaven, which, as you say, Mark, offers out of the box the better part of 100 different scenarios, where each scenario, they say, and by they, I mean Isaac Childress, say around 30 minutes per player.
Yeah.
So each scenario is going to take you up to two and a half hours or 6 hours if you're a dice man.
Yeah, and I was going to say, interestingly, so far I think that's pretty close. Yeah. What we've found is probably when we've played the four-player scenarios, they've taken us about 2 hours. Early days, obviously, these are... Not that the first scenarios seem to be beginner scenarios, because there's certainly a lot of content in them, but time-wise, it does seem to be about right. And
it's not.
Because it can only be done once, that is the persistent world aspect. And to me, that is really exciting, that you impact the world and those changes you made in that world are there forever.
Wow, Mark's gone big pretty early on in the piece. We're not talking about how you play this game. He's gone straight into the world.
No, but I just wanted to mention two things that you guys have talked about. The time that it takes to play the game, it does take a bit to set up.
Yeah, set up.
There are other games that are definitely take longer to set up, that's for sure. So, but it's not the quickest in the world, but it's not the longest. But it does take a bit, and there is a few components going along, which is not a bad thing.
Well, what I suggest, guys, is I've got a list of about 10 things that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I reckon if you're happy, we'll go through this list bit by bit, because that will take us a lot of this show just to discuss the various components about this. And please put on our reviewers' hats, gentlemen.
Yes.
Because we need to compare this to other things.
Yes.
Because that's what we're paid the big bucks
and
for.
And look, I'll yell out when we hit a certain time mark, because I think we will need to spread this over two breaks, I think.
All right. So we're going to start with a very simple who are the characters? Who do you start with? Who do you play? Because when you open this box, and this box, for any of us Australians out there who are listening, is about the size, the shape, and the weight of a case of beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a carton.
It is a carton. And geez, Mark, the last couple of weeks, you've had to walk it up a very steep driveway.
Yes.
And look, it's great for your weight loss. It's awesome. But you also turn up to this house where we go and play really stinky and sweaty because of the 10 kilos that you've had to carry.
Yeah, well, I'm going for the Santa look this time of year.
You got to stick a big M. We can't do medium M. There's no joke in that.
All right. So we are all playing it. There are 6 starting characters that you get when you play this game. Now, which one of you two, Leon or Mark, wants to start off by saying some of the characters, and we'll see if we can get all 6 out and tabled right here and now?
Well, of course.
Mark, you start.
I'm the scoundrel.
You are. So you're the Han Solo of the whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And it's sort of the scoundrel. I'm actually human.
You are a human.
Is a mix, I think, of a rogue, has a lot of what you probably associate with D&D in sort of halfling-type traits, very much out for themselves, sneaky attacks. So it's quite roguish with a few maybe ranger-type elements in there.
Yep, sounds fair enough. Leon, who are you?
I'm honestly struggling to remember. I am the elf-ish, even though I'm not an elf.
You're not an elf.
I'm an elf-ish. I'm the sorcerer, aren't I?
Yeah.
Am I you, sorcerer? Leon, are the orchid spellweaver.
Yeah, I'm the sorcerer, right? and yeah,
no,
so
D&D tropes here.
No. I'm going to get this out of the way now because it saved me saying it
You're
later.
You're a flower dude.
This is the most closest to Dungeons & Dragons board game ever made ever. There's not even anywhere debate about that as far as I'm concerned.
Except they don't use Dungeons & Dragons tropes at all.
No, just every single one of them and rename into something else.
Anyway, gentlemen, I am a Craghart, which is basically a stone man who has been exiled because he wasn't quite good enough, so he had his chest ripped out.
You're the best part of Thor 3 is what you are.
Yeah. Have you met Doug?
Yeah.
You haven't even, those four
and
hands.
You didn't even do the Kiwi accent the whole time.
I can't
you
do it. I'm
monster.
Really, really, really sorry. So there is a tinkerer. Now, a tinkerer is your little... he's got a lot of scientific kind of nicks and knacks, and he's sort of just makes
sure
gadget
he's got man.
The gadgets and bits
and
pieces.
And he's some race I did not even know what it is. It's called a quattril.
A quattril.
Skaven.
Exactly right. No, yeah, he's not a Skaven.
A little bit koboldy, maybe?
Yeah.
Kind of, because then you've also got the Mind Thief. Now, the Mind Thief is basically Rat Boy. He is a rat who's got sentience and is in charge of elemental... not really elemental.
He's got
a bit of psychic ability going on. And then we've got one more, which is the Brute, which is the big meat blanket in all of this one. And he is an Inox warrior.
Yeah, it's like a giant mountain goat.
Exactly right. And that's your 6 starting characters. They're the 6 that when you open the box... you'll be actually able to open them and you'll be able to see them and you'll be able to see your character card, which is awesome because the character cards, apart from having one side which tells you basically how the game plays, has a really nice backstory on the back of it. So you immediately
There's literally
get into...
a story on the back.
Correct. You immediately get into the RPG element of this game, which I think it must be said is really super important. Because the decisions that you will be making along the way, as a gamer, you might make a decision, but you've got to always, always, always keep another sort of ear on the character. And what would your character do?
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be the best way to play this game. You've got to RPG it from day dot.
Mm-hmm. And particularly when you've got a choice to make, like very early on, you get your, what's it called? Your personal quest,
yes.
Your reason for why going. Your character is adventuring, and you get given 2 and you have to decide. Now, apart from the min-maxing game rethinking, either I might be able to complete this one earlier or I might be able to complete this one later because I maybe want to play this character for a long time, there's no other way to really make that choice because at that stage you know so little about the game.
Well, this is the thing is that you are making that decision, and it must be said that that decision you make you will have to live with for potentially, now we haven't got this far yet, but potentially 50 or more hours. Mm. And you're doing it not knowing what the hell this game is, how it plays, how long a scenario takes, where even the criteria might be met that you need to meet. So you're going into this very much as in, I'm a really good mercenary, I'm here to make some money, and I'm doing it because of that reason that will become apparent to me as the missions go on and on and on. So this is not a game that you play a one-shot of and then go, that was fun, let's move on to another game. This is a game that will reward hours and hours and scenario after scenario after scenario of play. It's going to be a game that has to hit the table a lot.
Yeah.
So we've done the characters.
Was that just one point?
That's one point. Now, these characters, they're going to be doing things. They're going to be going to places. And when you start this game, and we've only done the first few scenarios, there's going to be a grand total of one scenario that you can do. So we may as well talk about that. It's where you go into a barrow and you are basically trying to get some gold from a bad guy because you were told to do that by some person that you met in the local tavern.
Well, they're paying us. That's the important part of that.
Of course they are. So this is where the game starts. You start yourself in Gloomhaven proper and you're told to go somewhere and do a thing. But before you get to do a thing, you got to do some events.
You got to do two other things.
Correct. Because in this game, there are both city and road events, and they will always be important because every time you are going to be moving between either scenario to scenario or scenario back to town or town back to scenario, whatever combination there is, you're always going to have to do a road event and you're always going to have to do a city event. And they are just little cards that you'll randomly draw and they will say, your party is doing a thing. A thing then happens and you get to decide your response to that thing.
They all seem to, well, the ones we've seen so far, choice A or choice B. Choose.
Correct. And the choices that you make, again, you need to role play those because you should be thinking about it. Well, we're a band of mercenaries who are in it for the money. Am I going to do option A because of this reason? Or potentially, am I going to do option B because one of the characters in my mercenary group is the required race or the required person to maybe unlock something a little bit more special. And that's a really cool way to break up the scenarios. You'll do your road event, and then when you get into Gloomhaven, you'll do your city event. And that's important as well, because a lot of the city events potentially might give you a bit of money, which is handy because in the city of Gloomhaven, that's the only place you can actually do some shopping and upgrade your items, which are incredibly important in this game, even at the early stage that we are in, because items are your health potions, or your potions of speed, or your boots of speed, or your helmet of something or other, or a weapon, or anything that is in the hundreds of item cards. I think from memory there are in excess of 200 different item cards in this game, and all of them will be drip-fed to you as your characters progress, as your gold reserves increase, and as your abilities go up.
Now, Garth, speaking of shopping, firstly, Christmas shopping, Area 52, games, comics, books, manga, all the things. They can give you great gift pointers. Secondly, we need to play a song and come back because we're going to talk a whole lot more about Gloomhaven shortly.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, that was the Lucky Dips with Never Coming Back. You are here with the Dice Men Cometh, proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Go give them all your money. Take some products if you want, but just give them all your money.
Yes.
Garth, Gloomhaven, keep going.
All right, so we've done the road events, we've done the city events, you've got to your scenario, guys.
Yeah.
This is where the map comes out, and there's a lot of components in there, that old box of map tiles.
The old modular board.
Oh, it is modular to extremes. There are pieces here that are enormous.
Yep.
There are pieces that are small, but most of them are incredibly large, and you're probably talking hexes that are, an inch in diameter, I guess, and some of these boards would be 9 hexes wide.
So, and what did I think you said, Garth, when you cracked it open, was it 14 sheets of cardboard to punch?
Correct. 14 sheets, which was a record for me, so that was exciting.
And that's your monsters, your little sort of the things you put onto the big map tiles, your doors and your traps
and your coins and your chests and your loot and your everything.
Yeah, all the little tokens.
Correct. So there's a crap load. I took a photo of it on the floor and sent it to you because there are so many bits pieces. That's amazing. So let's talk about those monsters, because you get to your scenario, you set up the map. And in typical dungeon crawly fashion, you set up the first room that you're in, and you're allowed to start as the adventuring party in certain tiles, and you'll be able to walk in and go, ah, hello, there's some bad guys and there's some things and there's some doodahs. And look, there is the scenario book, which is extensive. It's not secret knowledge, but you open it up and you read the introduction to your scenario. Now, it must be said that as you progress, you will and you won't be able to do certain scenarios based on your previous history.
Yeah.
So the first thing that you'll see on a scenario, it will tell you the prerequisite. Mm. You can only do this if you have unlocked blah, 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 blah. Mm. Or you can't do this if you have unlocked blah, 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 blah. And that could very well be something like, you can't do the mission to kill a sorcerer if five missions ago you already killed the sorcerer. It's just not possible.
Is there a sorcerer?
I have no idea. I'm just taking something
making
out
it up.
Yeah. That is not
a real
thing.
I thought we gave away the spoiler.
I'm just saying that there are going to be scenarios that you will not be able to do based on the decisions you have made in previous scenarios. So anyway, you'll do that. If you meet the criteria, you go into your room, you set it up. Now, this is where we can talk about all the components in this board, game, box, because there are all the components. There are million, billion, trillions of components. And once you punch all of this stuff, which I did, it's never going to fit back in there unless you are a master, an absolute master at just piling it all in there, and it's just going to be a horrible mountain of pile of garbage.
Or
you go to your local reject shop or your Shiploads or the Crazy Clarks or whatever a discount bargain, super crazy discount bargain mart is anywhere else in the world, and you buy Plano boxes and you buy rubber bands and you buy baggies and you buy all that kind of stuff, because this game is a nuisance to set up and a nuisance to pack, to break up at the end of the night as well. Everything in the middle, well, we'll talk about that. But getting it started and getting it finished involves a fair bit of work.
And it must be said that there's a couple of amazing inserts you can pick up, I think, from
Meeple Realty.
Your Meeple Realty and
broken
your Broken Token. But particularly living at the butthole side of the world, where shipping these things costs as much as buying them, you're almost paying, for us, you're almost paying as much as you paid for the game to get those inserts. Now, in other parts of the world, obviously, you don't have those concerns, but I believe there's still maybe like $40 or $50 for these inserts.
Yeah, it's massive.
And they do, I do understand that they do reduce the setup time quite a bit. But,
anyway.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yes.
So speaking of components, the characters themselves that you play as, they are minis.
There are. That you start with the six base minis.
Yep.
However, there are 17 of them.
Yeah.
But you don't know what the other ones are because you haven't earned the right, Leon, to find out what they are, because you haven't upgraded and retired your character.
But my point was being is that they are minis. Your characters are minis.
Plastic ones.
The boss and the monster characters are little standees with like the cardboard, nicely designed enemies on it. Very a la Dead of Winter type characters.
Correct.
On it. So you've got minis and them on the board at the same time.
Yep, minis and standees.
Discuss.
I think it's great. I really like it.
Would you not prefer just all? I wouldn't say all minis, because then this game would be $5,000. I think I'd rather all standees than have the minis and the standees on the board. It's not that big a deal, but I think that's just my preference.
Well, look, for me, I really like the fact that the heroes are minis, because you are going to be playing with the same hero for tens of hours.
Yeah.
And for an increasingly large population in our gaming hobby, they're going to want to paint them.
Yeah.
They're going to want to personalize them. And that's what's happening. We have six minis over at Aiden's house right now in various stages of being painted into actual our characters. And the thing is, with the monsters, there are so many of them. And the other thing about that is that each of the monster groups, and we'll just talk a group of skeletons for the sake
skeletons
of it.
In the castle, yes.
There might be in the game 15 of those or 12 of those or whatever, but each one of them has their own number, and it's numbered 1 through to 12 And the reason for that...
Hang on. There's 15 skeletons numbered 1 to 12.
Oh, it doesn't matter. The point is, there is a certain number of them.
He nearly did a swear, I heard it.
And it is important because at some point in the game, they're all going to be out on the board.
Yep.
And it leads into a very nice way about how you track the damage, because this is a game where you're not just going to go Shazam and destroy a skeleton. You are going to go Shazam. I've done you a bit of damage. Or Shazam, I've done twice as much damage. Or Shazam, I've missed.
Take that, Skellington.
All of those things. And you need to track
Number 12.
Exactly. You need to track all of the damage. And it's done really cleverly with cards.
Yeah, it is a good system.
Where each of the cards, you don't have just the name of the monster type that you're fighting, but there's kind of like a pie chart out there that'll have numbers 1 through 12 or 1 through 15. Doesn't really matter.
Yep.
So that you can put your little damage tokens on those and go, oh, I'm going to attack skeleton number 3. I can see quite clearly it's got 4 damage and that it's poisoned or something else.
Yeah, and
I've got a good chance of killing it.
It's a cool little design, that's for sure. Especially when you first see it, you go, oh, that makes perfect sense. You wouldn't want to go bumping it, though.
No, you wouldn't.
That could cause some issues.
Yes.
And let's just to tidy it up. So what you've got is you've got an envelope which has numbers on it. And as you said, I think there's one that has 6, one that has 8, one that has 10, one that has more. You've got about 4 or 5 of those. But then for each type of monstrance, which is the same monster but at a different level. So on one side, it'll have level 0, 1, 2, and 3. Flip it over, and it'll have level 4, 5, 6, and 7. And then depending on the orientation of how you slip it in the envelope, you only get exposed the stats for that level. Really clever system.
Yeah, and it's all about managing your party progression. Because if you've been playing this game for a long time and you're all at level 7 or 8 or 9, a level 0 or a level 1 skeleton is just like stepping on an
ant. A bag of bones, yeah.
It just really doesn't matter. So that's how they level the scaling up in this game.
But Garth, what about the combat in Gloomhaven?
All right, well, the combat in Gloomhaven, funny that you should mention Descent, because it doesn't roll dice.
No.
It uses your own personal deck of cards, but not just one deck of cards. No, Leon.
Oh.
It's actually 2.
Oh.
There are 2 decks of cards. Now, you will have, as a character, your own private stack of your cards. Now,
ability cards, are we calling?
Attack modifier cards, maybe.
Well, no, I'm talking about the ones that you're actually going to choose to play.
Oh,
before
okay,
we worry
so these
about.
Are so your
ability cards.
Your character cards,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, you'll always have a predetermined number of those based on the character that you're mm-hmm. playing, and you will always get to choose what cards you play from your hand. Now, each of those cards are made up of 2 halves. They've got a top half and a bottom half. Each of those have 2 independent abilities that doesn't matter whether they are complementary or not, because on your turn, you are going to always play 2 face-down cards. You will then reveal your leading card, because each of the cards also has a number on it, which is your initiative order, and that'll tell you smallest number first, so whoever's the lowest number is going to go first in the round. But you reveal your cards, and you'll be able to do the top action from one card and the lower action or the bottom action from another card.
I love a bit of bottom action.
So these cards, you might only get 8 of those for the whole game,
yep,
depending on your character. I think in the 6 starting classes, the range is from, it's either 8 to 11 or 8 to 12 cards,
I think, yep,
that you're going to have. Now, on your turn, you're going to play 2 of those. You'll do the top action, the bottom action, and depending on the actions you've done, you're either going to place those cards into your discard pile, or you're going to place them in your lost pile, which basically means that they're done and dusted for the whole scenario.
Mm.
Now, that all sounds good and well, but Mark, I hear you say, well, what happens when I run out of cards? I might not have 2 cards at the start of my turn to be able to play. What am I going to do?
Happens?
Well, this is where you've got the option to take a short rest, which is one of only 2, randomly discarding one and putting it in my lost pile, never to be seen again for this scenario.
Mm.
And then I can keep going. Or you can do a long rest, which immediately sets your initiative to 99, as in you will go last.
Yep.
You don't do diddly squat.
Basically
except
skip
for
a turn.
Collect your cards. And the only difference between that and a short rest is that you get to recover 2 hit points, which is incredibly valuable when you are level 1. And you get to choose which card you have to get rid of for the whole scenario. So you're never going to get out of this where you get all your cards back.
No.
You're always going to lose 1. And when you only potentially have 8 cards to see you through this whole scenario, geez, that's a tough decision.
And this is, of course, the timer for the game, because when you cannot physically play 2 cards because of how much you've rested or how much you've used, then you're dunsky. You're
exhausted.
You're exhausted.
And you play no further part of that scenario. Your mini is removed from the map. If the team is successful, you still get the spoils of victory. But obviously it becomes a lot harder because the game is set for 4 players and currently there's only 3. So yeah, there's a lot of monsters out there. So it's a bit poo.
But Garth, you said there were 2 decks that you had. What is the other deck?
Well, the second deck only applies when you're about to lay the smackdown on that evil guard or the evil archer or the shaman or any of the numerous different bad guys that you are going to find, because out of those 14 punch boards of stock, about half of them are just the monsters. There are a crap load, and you won't know which ones you're fighting until you reveal the scenario that you're talking about, and it'll tell you you need to get these and these and these and these and these, plus you need to get a whole bunch of different obstacles, plus some traps, plus all this kind of stuff. So you go up, you choose your 2 cards. One of the cards might say, you get to move 3 spaces. All right, that's pretty easy. I can do that. 1, 2, 3. The second card that you're going to play, it might say, attack 2 different characters at a range of 3. And you go, all right, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to attack that skeleton. I'm going to attack that something else. When you do that, you don't just use the card that you have played. You use your ability deck. And this is where it is an initial deck of 20 cards, which is ranging from a -2 modifier and a miss up to a x2 modifier. And you will flip at every stage and every time that you are destroying a big baddie one of those cards, and it will tell you whether your attack is a success, first of all, and most of them will be a success in some way, shape or form, but what your modifier is as well. Is it, oh, I've done a base attack of 2 and I flip a card and now it's a base attack of 4, woohoo! Or my base attack of 2, I'm going to flip a card and, oh, it's -2, so my attack is now nothing.
Yeah, well, I believe exactly what happened in the game we play. We were all going after the boss because we wanted to kill him and get him out of the way. I got a -2 on a big fireball spell that I could only use once per scenario. And didn't one of you have some sort of earthquake thing that got no hit whatsoever?
Yeah.
So this is a great way to mix up the combat where it doesn't what is in my modified ability deck.
It's your dice roll.
Yeah,
it is your dice roll.
And this is, I guess, why it's termed a Euro-inspired tactical game, because one of the great things about this game is you can change up that attack modifier deck. And so you have these, and I don't know if you're about to mention this, Garth, but let me save you the trouble. So you have, not only do you have your persistent goal that you're trying to achieve over tens of hours, but every scenario you'll get a
basically
like a battle goal. Yeah. Again, you'll get 2 you pick from, and you'll get, well, the ones we've seen so far are like you get 1 or 2 ticks if you achieve it and you're successful in the scenario. Now, what that lets you do is on your character sheet, you have groups of 3 ticks. Once you tick off 3 ticks, you can take what's called a perk.
Woo-hoo!
And what the perk lets you do is it lets you modify that attack modifier deck.
Yep.
So it might let you remove a couple of cards. It might let you swap out a card for another card. It might let you add in some special cards that you've got, where each character has some of those. These decks all start out exactly the same for every character, but then each character in the little box they get, not only do they have their special ability cards and their character sheet and a character sheet where you write it with a pencil to keep track of your character, but you have some of your own attack modifier cards so that each character can add in things that are different.
You're basically buffing your own deck in that regard. Yeah. So, for example, I've been able to get 3 ticks and I've been able to add another +2 success. Shush, Leon.
Buffing your own deck.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Or I chose the option where I could take out 2 -1s.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You back with us, Leon?
Yeah, a little bit.
But so, I love this. And, you know, one of the reasons I think that Isaac Childers said he went for this rather than a dice is that you'd have to have all these custom dice if you wanted to change it. Whereas with cards, you can swap one in, swap one out, and you can change it up. You can develop how your deck will play
exactly
over the round. And look, I think it's a So simple, but very, very clever little system.
And I think what you've said there probably puts the whole game in that nutshell, because it is a very simple game to play. The actual mechanics of it are not complicated. The monsters, the bad guys, all operate in a very simple way. They each have their own monster deck. On each turn, when the characters, the players, have all chosen their two cards to play that turn, the monster decks will each reveal one card for each monster type. They will also have an initiative number to show where the monsters are going in the turn order. And they will say, oh, the monsters of the guard type are moving and attacking. Or the next card might say that they're just attacking. Or they might say they're shielding and making themselves stronger. So you're never going to know whether the monsters are going to be moving and attacking. It's not consistent. It's not always they're going to do the same things over and over again, which makes it more living. It makes it more real, because you can't, as the players, go, well, we know exactly what these bad guys are going to do, so we can form an absolutely seamless strategy that will definitely work. There's enough variability in there to keep it always interesting. So the game is simple. It takes a long time.
It's just the longest discussion we've ever had on a game. It's just, now, it's simple, though.
We're already almost 3/4 of the way through this show, and we haven't said whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
So, I think we sort of have.
Who wants to go first here, Mark? You go first.
Okay, well, look, I love that I can role play. So for me, this is filling a niche of, you know, instead of a Dungeon and Dragon session, a role-playing session, I get to do this. I love the scenarios, and even from what we've seen so far, are quite varied. I love the persistent world aspect. I love the attack modifiers. I love the thought of unlocking.
You didn't love the curses, Mark, it must be said.
Yeah, yeah. Look, we haven't even talked about the fact that you can go to the Sanctuary of the Oak and give them some money, and you get to put two blessings into your attack modifier deck, which are two extra 2x multipliers.
Yeah, but
the issue is then you have to draw them out. I'm having so much fun with this game. I know I was excited when we started playing Pandemic Legacy because we were unlocking new stuff. For me, without even thinking about the secret envelopes and stuff, which there are only a couple in this, I'm just excited to play the game and explore how my character is going to change over time without even thinking about, I'm going to get to unlock another character maybe.
Sure.
I'm having so much fun.
It's good. It's very, very good. As I said before, it is Dungeons and Dragons, the board game. Apart from, like, the archetypes are different and stuff, but it is the way that it plays and the role play aspect of it. It is exactly what that is, which is a brilliant thing. I hate to bring up the D word again, the descent word, but that you can compare it to that very similarly. Is it better than Descent? Hard to say this early on. Descent is an awesome game, very, very good, and especially now that it has that app where you don't need an overlord anymore, so you can just have all play that as co-op, and that game's been out for a long time, so there's a lot of stuff for it. However, you can just get the base game for Gloomhaven and then not have to get another board game for another year,
correct.
Whereas Descent, to have all that awesome stuff, which there is a lot of now, costs a lot of money and a lot of time. So comparing it to that is hard to say, but yeah, I can't even remember when I played it that night if I had anything bad to say about it then, and I'm struggling to think of something bad to say about it now.
Yeah, look, for me, the bad is the pack-up and the actual setting it all up, and that's just something to do with a game of this size.
But,
and that's not a bad thing. It's just something that everyone who goes into this game needs to know, that even if you know the game backwards, it's still going to take you half an hour to decide on where are we going, what are we doing, and now let's get the actual scenario
but
set
because
up.
Of the role play aspect, that's an interesting conversation.
Yes.
As opposed to, say, our Pandemic Legacy setups, where we would argue for 20 minutes about what character we should bring, which was just tedious as all hell.
And it's also that was also about, you know, like us min-maxing that particular game.
Exactly.
Which we haven't even had those conversations.
Whereas this, we've got, there's five of us playing.
Yeah. On in our Gloomhaven campaign, I am really excited for what the next scenario holds. I'm really excited for my character progression. I am just about to become level 2.
Oh, you're lucky, player.
I don't know what that means except for the fact that I'll have a couple of extra cards to potentially put into my deck. It means I've got to get rid of some other cards, but I've got someone that will hopefully be a little bit more exciting or more powerful. This game, I don't think, looks as good as Descent. I don't think that the dungeon side of it is as beautiful. I think the Descent actual modular board looks better. However,
and that does have minis for everything as well.
It does. However, I'm obviously willing to put that aside because the amount of content that this game creates and the sheer gameplay is fun. The way the game says is, because you're a party, you can talk about what you're going to be doing this round, but you can't talk specifics. You can't say, I'm going to play an initiative 65 card and it's going to do this and it's going to do this. You can say, though, I'm going to be going pretty late in the turn order, I reckon. My goal or what I want to try and do is I want to run up and I want to lay the smack down on that particular bad guy. You want to go, oh, I'm going to run backwards a little bit and pick up a bit of treasure because...
Because I like treasure.
You're playing the role play aspect of it, as in you're in the same room together, so you can hear each other, and you're just like, I'm going to take out that warrior guy over there. He's been annoying me and whatever else. I'm going to use my magic on that guy over there, I think. And yeah,
exactly. And the monsters respond to that in that if the monster can choose to go for someone who is lower in the initiative track, as in they've played the smallest number, which means they're going first, they'll go to them. So the monsters kind of react, and if you're that big bravado character going, I'm going to go first and lay the smack down, the monsters might be drawn to you and you might have to suffer the consequences
of
that.
And I do like the monster AI in this. It's nice and simple.
It is. So this game has a hell of a lot going for it. I'm sorry, listeners, but this is going to be a game that the three dice men really, really like, and you're not going to hear any kind of arguments about that. It's pretty fair enough.
I haven't heard negativity about this game yet.
Well, let's talk about that.
I was going to say, let's talk about the fact that at the moment it's ranked number two on Board Game Geek. Pandemic Legacy is ranked number one. However, Gloomhaven is rated the number one strategy game and the number one thematic game. Pandemic Legacy is rated the number two strategy game and the number one thematic game. So I hear you ask, therefore, why is this not the number one rated game? And it's because 36,000 people have said they own Pandemic Legacy Season 1 on Board Game Geek. 22,000 people have voted on what they think of Pandemic Legacy, and they've rated it on average 8.67.
Yep.
14,000 people have said they own Gloomhaven. 7,000 people have voted and said they ranked it on average 9.05.
Wow.
So it's ranked higher.
A lot higher.
The only reason it's not number one is because there are almost three times as many people that have voted for Pandemic Legacy. And when you look at this, there are 14,000 people who say they own it. There are 7,000 people who have it on their wish list.
Mm-hmm.
There are 50 people who said they've got it for trade, and there are 1,000 people who want to trade for it.
Yep.
Pandemic Legacy, there are 36,000 people who've said they own it. There's another 7,000 people who've said they want to get it. There's 137 people, so it's about the same proportion who want to trade it, and there are only 723 who want to get it in trade. So Gloomhaven is
getting
almost...
Getting a copy of Pandemic Legacy in trade,
that's right.
That seems a bit broken.
Yeah. But anyway, basically... Less than half the number have said they own Gloomhaven and have voted. Given that on the second round of the Kickstarter, which is only just delivered to people, there's 40,000. If half of those people go on Board Game Geek and vote, this will be the number one game easily.
Well, I think it's going to be the number one game. I don't know when it'll happen, but it's going to happen, I reckon, because, look, Pandemic Season 1, for me, it's not the number one game of all time. I'd much rather there be Twilight Struggle back on that list, but Gloomhaven deserves to be up there for me. I think it is a brilliant game, a great implementation of a dungeon crawl. And we're going to a song.
Oh, how apt. Found me muff, got it.
There you go, everyone was listening about your muff, Leon. You're with the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That was Ending Atrophy with For Sure.
Yeah.
Not Entropy.
Shut up.
All right, Mark.
Okay, Secret Santa.
Yeah.
And look, we've just talked about Gloomhaven so much. I just wanted to say, if I had any money, and if I was going to buy you guys a present, what I would buy based on what I think you would like.
Okay.
And I said you could do the same. I don't know whether you have. I've got a couple of things. So, Leon.
Yeah.
The obvious one to me that jumped out was DC Spyfall.
Ooh.
Where you've got, you know, the Joker is the spy. You've got the DC locations, Arkham Asylum, the Batcave, the Justice Hall of Justices things.
Yeah.
Apparently, you've also got the Harley mechanic where Harley is trying to give information to the Joker without giving herself away. That sounds really fantastic. Now, fantastic. I cheated a bit because that's not out till next year.
No.
The second thing I thought, if I wanted to buy you a present, don't know why, but anyway.
Did I not buy you guys a present earlier today? Oh, I
we haven't got
right.
it yet.
It's in the car. Shut
Fallout, the board game. I have heard really good things about this.
Well, I'm re-gifting it because that's on my list to give to you.
Oh, wow. And I've heard good things about that there's going to be lots and lots of expansions. I haven't played a Fallout game since the original Fallout game because my computer hasn't been up to specs, I'm afraid.
Yes,
and I've been a Mac user for a while.
Do they still upgrade Commodore 64?
Anyway, and the third one I had on my list, again, I've cheated a little bit because this will be kickstarted in February 2018, Batman the Board Game, apparently is a re-implementation of the Conan board game, but in the Batman universe with really awesome-looking minis. Look, a couple of bonus picks. I thought you'd really like Wasteland Express Delivery Service, but you're lucky because I've got that coming. So
and you'll be able to give it to me because you've still got my Seventh Continent.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that on my gift to you, I would give you Seventh Continent because
I haven't got a copy of it.
I also said Codenames Marvel because I think you'd really like that, and it's got the words and the pictures option. And the last one is the Eldritch Horror expansion, Masks of Nyarlathotep.
Well, I'll definitely be buying it, so thank you.
Because I didn't realise this. It adds a campaign system to the Eldritch Horror board game, and I know you love a campaign. And it adds investigator personal quests.
Ooh, wicked.
And that will be out in the first quarter 2018
as
well.
Can I do three quick ones for Leon?
Yeah.
So I thought, given your newfound love of RPGs, I'd have to get you Starfinder RPG because...
You mean the core book, which is what I'm giving to you.
Hey, cool, tick. And then I figured we'd have to give you some expansion for Terraforming Mars, just so you give that another go. And then I had to give you a subscription to Pandemic Season 1 through 10.
Right.
Just to make sure that you had all the pandemics.
So I've got a book and then two big boxes of kindling. Good to know.
Burning books is bad.
Yes.
Leon?
Right. So for young Marky Mark, I've got Fallout, which you've already discussed.
Yes.
Since you're a man who likes a Euro, one that I haven't played and I've said for years I want to play, so I thought I'd give it to you so cheekily I could play it as well, is Le Havre. That none of us three have a copy of, and that seems kind of like a crime because it's almost like the entry-level Euro game. And then the final one is a game that I come across called Heaven and Ale.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, it was you to a T. All you had to do was BGG it in the first sentence, and I went, yeah, well, that's for Mark. Garth, what have you got for Marky Boy?
Oh, for Mark, I had to go for Nemo's War just because it is... about submarines. It's Eno Tool Art, and it's a solo game.
That's on Kickstarter again now, isn't it?
The second edition.
And it's really cheap.
It's really cheap, but it also kicked absolute ass in the first scenario. In the first Kickstarter campaign. So,
yeah,
solo game, Mark, it's got to be for you. In similar vein, I had U-Boot.
Oh, I had that for you.
There we go.
I want U-Boot.
It's kind of like Cold Express, but with a 3D submarine.
Well, no, I had it being a combination of This War of Mine and Captain Sonar.
Well, that sounds perfect as well. A lot of people confuse Cold Express with This War of Mine.
Yeah.
And then I had to throw in Clank in Space.
Well, Garth, you've got a fixation with Mousetrap.
I do,
Every time we talk about the olden days, you bring it up. So I thought... Coaster Park.
It's
like a new version of Mousetrap that works really well.
Yes.
I also thought, because you just haven't had the pedigree of Euros that you need, Garth, to be in this position.
Yes.
Modern Art. Cool Mini or not, have just released Modern Art, which is the Rainer Knizia auction game. It even has the mechanic where you draw a card and it tells you which type of four or five different auctions you'll actually use this time.
Okay.
And the Cool Mini or not, the brand new version looks really nice. And Ex Libris.
Oh, yeah.
By Renegade Games. I've heard so much about this with the variable player powers, the worker placement, set collection, card drafting, the fact that you have these unique workers, and one might be a gelatinous cube that eats up other people's workers. One might be a ghost, which means it can go on the same space as another worker because it doesn't really exist. Couple of bonus picks. Cockroach Poker. because it has some fantastic bluffing, and it's really old school. It's great art, and you can play with kids.
Sounds good.
CO2 Second Chance.
Ah, yeah.
The new version of CO2 with the Eno tool art.
We need to give that game a chance after our first attempt.
Of course, U-Boot.
Yes.
And Professor Evil and the Citadel of Time, because then we'd have a copy of that. We could talk about it for Game of the Year.
Yeah, Matt Dunstan.
That makes sense. So, for me, Garth, obviously the Starfinder rulebook I would give to you as well, so we can co-run this RPG.
Sounds perfect, yep.
Then two other games I've got, Meeple Circus.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought it'd be fun for you to play with the Kiddlywinks.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then kind of another game to play with the Kiddlywinks, and then play with us and we can drink lots, is Rhino Hero Super Battle.
Oh, okay.
Just because I've always wanted to buy Rhino Hero, and apparently Super Battle's the way to go these days, and I thought he could play it with his family, but then he could play with us.
That sounds good.
So that is good. That is a hell of a list, lads.
Wow, that is a great... I'd love to get under that tree, that's for sure. Yeah. So, as usual, we've taken it right up to time again.
Yep.
Look, I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot more about Gloomhaven in the future. Now, I don't know if you can get Gloomhaven at Area 52, but you can get a whole bunch of these other games at Area 52, and particularly for our local listeners, we'd love you to drop in, say, hi, I've been listening to this really cool radio show about board games, and they told me that you are awesome, because they are, and we think so.
Yeah.
So and on drop that in, note, we got to go, haven't we?
Absolutely. It's the end of the show.
So we've been the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We will see you next week.
For the Christmas show.
For the Christmas show.
Yes. Goodbye, everybody. Don't forget to buff your deck.
This has been another episode of the Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au. And find us online at thedicemencometh.com.